Leviticus 25 and verse number 10, the Bible says, proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. And this is Pastor Wynn Greer of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina. I want to thank you for listening in today. We hope you will stay with us for the next half hour. I'm going to be talking about the subject of Boston Terror. Boston Terror. I hope it'll be very interesting. You say, I've heard enough about that. Well, I think what I've got to share with you today is going to be just a little bit different from what you have probably heard on the news. And so I hope you'll stay with us. We're going to apply some scriptural principles, what the Bible says, and talk also about the Fourth Amendment in the Constitution. But before we do that, I want to say good morning to everyone. Good morning to Noah. He's here today. Noah, how are you?
I'm good. It's good to be here this morning. We do want to say welcome to all our listeners, those who are listening here on AM 1450 WATA in Boone, those who listen in on AM 690 in Bristol, Virginia, and also those on KPGT 89.1 FM The Truth in Watertown, South Dakota. And I'd also like to say this morning, happy birthday to my little sister Chloe. She turned 5 today. We wanted to tell her happy birthday.
Do you think she's listening?
She might be.
I think we told them to, so We'll see. But anyway, happy birthday, Chloe. It's exciting to be 5 when you have birthdays, and then when you get older,
it's exciting to have someone turning 5.
Yeah. So we wanted to say happy birthday to her. So we appreciate that, and all of our listeners. Now, if you were able to listen in last week, and I hope you were, and if you weren't, I'd like for you to go and listen to it online on our church website, mountlebanonbc.org. Last week, we had Mr. Dan Stanley with us in an interview. He is an owner, editor, contributor to the U.S. Journal. He is also a pastor. And we're going to give you the number in a moment for the U.S. Journal. If you listen in, maybe right at the end of our radio broadcast, we were sort of rushed for time, and I didn't get to put this out there like I wanted to. But the number, if you are interested in the U.S. Journal, I really enjoyed what Mr. Stanley had to say. It was a great blessing. Like I said, we're a little rushed. But if you are interested in a conservative monthly newspaper written and edited by Christians, I believe you would enjoy the U.S. Journal. And I want to encourage you to give them a call. The regular rate for a year's subscription is $39. But if you call and you mention the Blessings of Liberty, they will let you have a year's subscription plus the online. If you want to read the archived articles online, you can go back just as far as they're there and read the articles online. They'll let you have that for $29 a year. That's only about $2.41 per issue. That is a great deal. So the number, if you didn't get it last week, the number for the U.S. Journal and mention the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast, 715-514-8055. You can subscribe online at usjournalonline.com, but to get the special rate, you have to call. And so once again, that number is 715-514-8055. And just mention the Blessings of Liberty. They'll give you that special discounted rate. And so today, I want to talk about the subject of Boston Terror. Boston Terror. And I am positive by now that all of our listeners, unless you have been out of the country or you have been in the hospital, in a coma or something like that, you are aware of the bombings that took place Monday before last on April the 15th. You are also aware of the loss of life and limb, a very tragic act of terrorism in our nation. 3 people died. Many people, I don't even know how many, lost a leg, arm. They'll be maimed for the rest of their life. So just a very terrible situation. And our thoughts and prayers are going out to those families at this difficult time. That would just be a terrible situation. You go out to watch something that ought to be fun, that ought to be a family-oriented, and then somebody dies, somebody gets maimed for life. Just a horrible, horrible thing to take place in our country. So our thoughts and our prayers are going out to those people. But you're aware of all that by now. You're also aware of the subsequent manhunt for the two bombers, and also that one of those men, the 26-year-old brother, he is supposedly dead, and then the 19-year-old brother, he is in custody in the hospital and evidently suffered a gunshot wound to his neck, and whether that was self-inflicted or in the capture or the night before, I'm not exactly sure that that's been cleared up yet. But the Boston terror that I want to talk about today is not the terror from the bombing itself. What I want to talk about today is about the second wave of terror that involved the setting aside of the Fourth Amendment in the Bill of Rights. And I want to read that. Now, we talk about the First Amendment all the time, freedom of religion, freedom of speech. We talk about the Second Amendment quite often. The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed, is what the Second Amendment says. But there are other amendments in the Constitution. This is the Fourth Amendment in the original 10 amendments, which we refer to as the Bill of Rights. But the Fourth Amendment says this: the right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrants shall issue but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. That is a very specific amendment. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated. Now, what happened beginning last Thursday night and then all day on Friday was basically the institution of martial law in Boston, Massachusetts, where they set aside the Fourth Amendment for a short period of time, and there was martial law instituted in Boston. Now, martial law is a special type of terror in and of itself. I want to read the definition of terror from the Webster's 1828 dictionary. It says that terror is extreme fear, violent dread, fright, fear that agitates the body and mind. And then in that dictionary, it gives an illustration or an example, and it lists Deuteronomy chapter number 32 in the Bible. And so you go over to Deuteronomy chapter number 32. What that chapter in the Bible is about, it outlines the judgments of the Lord upon a nation that has turned its back upon God. God says, all right, I've covered this before. Other chapters in the Bible, Leviticus chapter number 26, Deuteronomy chapter number 38, the blessing or cursing chapters in the Bible. God says, if you do this, I'll bless you. If you disobey me, if you forget about my law, you turn your back upon me, then I'll curse you. This is what's going to happen. Well, Deuteronomy chapter number 32 is sort of a summary of what will happen to the nation that turns its back upon God. Now, listen what verse number 25 says, and paying specifically attention to the word terror. It says, what's going to happen to the nation that turns its back upon God? The sword without and terror within. If you have a copy of God's word, you ought to find that and underline it. God says the sword without, that's warfare outside the nation, and terror within shall destroy both the young man and the virgin, the suckling also with the man of gray hairs. And as I was reading and studying this, and I'm not saying this is here nor there, but it is just interesting to me that all four categories of people were touched by that bombing on Monday, April the 15th. He said the young man, there was a young man from China that was killed as a result of that bomb. And the virgin, there was a young woman, 29 years old, that was killed during the bombing. The suckling also, that's a child. There was an 8-year-old child that was killed as a result of that bombing. And then it said also with the man of gray hairs. Now, if you've watched that over and over again, the moment that explosion took place, there was an older man right in the center of the screen, and it blew him down in the street there. And of course, he lived, but they interviewed him, and that's sort of probably going to be the image that most people will have in their minds of the Boston bombing, would be when that explosion took place and that older man who was actually running in the marathon, he was up in his 70s, and it blew him down there in the street. So I just thought that was interesting and wanted to mention that as we passed by. But God said to the nation that turns its back on me, the sword without and terror within. Now, I was watching the news when the bombing took place, or just shortly after, and I turned on the television. I was watching it as the events unfolded, and they kept referring to this as happening on Patriots Day. Now, I did not know this at that time, but in Massachusetts, Patriots Day is a civic holiday. It's observed there. It's a day off for the schools. They observe Patriots Day. It is always observed the third Monday in April, Patriots Day. I looked this up, and I did not know that they celebrated this in Massachusetts, but Patriots Day commemorates the battles of Lexington and Concord, which took place on April the 19th, 1775. So they have a civic holiday. They have a day off work in Massachusetts, and they call it Patriots Day. I think that I read that in the 1960s, they moved it to the Monday so they could so it could be in line with a three-day weekend all the time. But this is something that they celebrate in Massachusetts. I also believe in Wisconsin and maybe in the state of Maine as well. They celebrate Patriots Day. Now, the battles of Lexington and Concord, these were the first battles of the American Revolutionary War. These battles took place after the morning of the Midnight Ride of Paul Revere. Maybe you remember that when you went to school and they talked about Paul Revere and how he rode through the night and said, you know, the British are coming. And as a result of his warning, the local men, the brave men of Concord and Lexington, Massachusetts, they made up the local militia. They called those men the Minutemen, because they were supposed to be ready at a minute's notice. And so these Minutemen, they assembled together the next morning to meet the terrorists, the British. The British are coming. The reason the British were coming, they were coming to capture the town's magazine. Now, a magazine is what they referred to. We would call it the armory. That was the place. The town's magazine is the place where they kept their gunpowder, their shot, their flint, no doubt extra rifles, if they had cannons, cannonballs, anything like that. It was kept in the town's magazine. And the British were coming to take away their right to defend themselves. Well, those patriots, thank God, they didn't think much of their gun control laws. And so they stopped them from doing that. They stopped them from disarming them. Had they not done that, you and I would be under a Union Jack flag. We would be drinking tea instead of coffee. And things went a lot different because our forefathers were manly and courageous in the preservation of their liberties. You know, if these bombings had taken place in the American Revolutionary time frame period, in earlier times, the whole town would have turned out to hunt down these terrorists. But what happened instead last Friday, the exact opposite thing happened. Free and law-abiding citizens were kept hostage all day in their homes by this 19-year-old terrorist bombing suspect being on the loose. And I did some research on the internet. Now, that's just been a few days ago. But you can go all kinds of places. You can see pictures. You can see videos. I seen one picture of a sign on a bridge, these public service signs where they'll have an amber alert or where they'll have a weather alert, you know, these digital signboards that the Department of Transportation puts up. And they put messages for the public to read as they're driving through. Well, one of these message boards said up on it, it said shelter in place. Now, I'd never heard of that before, but what that was talking about is you were confined to your home. Go home, stay in your house. Don't come out. Don't go shopping. Don't go to work. Stay in your house. Shelter in place, in effect, in Boston. And then there's all kinds of pictures, and they were talking about it on the news. Empty streets, schools closed, businesses closed. No cars on the streets, no people in the park. Everybody was confined to stay in their home while this shelter in place was in effect in Boston. During that time period, the law enforcement was roaming the streets, automatic weapons, dressed in SWAT gear, bomb sniffing dogs, rifles, armored cars, armored trucks, helicopters, you name it. And we kept on the TV pretty much all day last Friday. And, you know, as we were passing by and doing our work around the house, and when we were there, we were watching what was going on. And, I mean, it was just chaos. One video I seen on the internet, and you can go see these things for yourself and watch them, but the law enforcement goes up to a house, and they were searching house by house, going house to house. And one neighbor was videoing across the street his neighbor's house. And the law enforcement, they go over there, they sort of surround the house, looks like something in a movie. One guy goes up, he bangs on the door, starts yelling, screaming. Here a few seconds, the door opens up, and these SWAT guys, they rush into the house. And you can hear them screaming, dogs barking, helicopters flying overhead, and they start sending the people in the house out one by one. So they come out of the house, they got their hands on their heads, one guy starts to put his hands down, and they scream, you know, get your hands up, get your hands up. You talk about terror. You're sitting there, you're probably watching the news, and all of a sudden, here comes SWAT team, knocks the door down or knocks it in. Runs everybody out of the house one by one. They're searching them. They'd send them on down the street. Terror. That would be a terrorizing event to happen in your house. So this happened in Boston. We'll probably never know unless you know somebody there and talk to them. Happened, we do not know how many times, from house to house as they were searching. Now, I want to say that I'm not knocking the law enforcement. I appreciate the dangerous situation and circumstance that they put themselves in, and they put their lives on the line to protect and to serve. That's what they are supposed to do. And I very much appreciate what they do lawfully. And I would underline or underscore that statement. I appreciate what they do lawfully. But what I'm concerned about, what other people ought to be concerned about, is our society, when we have lost so much of our manly courage that we would cower inside while the professionals take care of us, and not just the example of what went on in Boston. That was an example of what martial law would look like in America. Stay in your house. Everybody is guilty until proven innocent. That is in direct contradiction to what it really means to live in a free country. In a free country, we are innocent until proven guilty. But under socialism, under communism, under martial law, under a police state, and that is what we are quickly coming into in America, is a nanny state, a police state, a state where the government watches everything that you do, all of your activity on online, read your emails. You are already, if you go to town, if you go to a city, you are being videotaped at all times. In that type of an environment, every citizen is guilty until proven innocent. Searching house to house. The Fourth Amendment does not say that the right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects, unless we set it aside to look for a terrorist, or unless there's a bad man somewhere. The Fourth Amendment says shall not be violated. And it is not just about what went on in Boston, but we see in America our civil liberties eroding each and every day, each and every month. Last month, Senator Paul Rand did a filibuster before the Senate asking the question, does the president have the authority to kill American citizens with drones? You know, nobody ever answered his question. He did a filibuster, and I've not searched this out, but I don't know. I believe it's been a long time since there has been a filibuster in the Senate, but he stood there for 12, almost 13 hours and tried to get an answer concerning that. But what does it come to in America when we're discussing can drones observe us without our knowledge at all times, report on us, and even have the capacity to kill an American citizen that the government deems to be a threat or an enemy of some kind? This is not the way our founders set up our nation. There is a bill before Congress right now. It's called CISPA, C-I-S-P-A. I read an article about it by Ron Paul yesterday, and it basically would be the TSA on the internet, the Transportation Security Administration, and how they, if you go to the airport, they go through your bags, they search you, they fondle you, they handle you, they x-ray you, they submit you to all of this stuff in the name of security. Well, this bill would be the TSA on the internet. I've read articles about the IRS on Facebook. You could get audited for saying something, that a flag would come up. If you have an email that's over 180 days old, they could read your email. All kinds of things like this going on. The NDAA, I mentioned that last year, National Defense Authorization Act, the Patriot Act. You are basically considered guilty until proven innocent. And I want to point out something about what happened up in Boston is that in spite, now we are told to give up our liberty so that we can be secure, but in spite of all the police, all the security, all the surveillance, all the different government agencies involved in keeping us secure and keeping us safe, in spite of all of those things, and in spite of all that presence of security, at the end of the Boston Marathon, the finish line of all places with all the cameras and all the press, this act of terrorism was not prevented. There are just some things that cannot be prevented. Do you know a diligent citizen could have made the most difference right there? somebody that was just watching and said, hey, this guy come up and sat down in this backpack and walked away from it. I don't think that's good. That would have done more good than all the security, surveillance, cameras, and everything. What I'm saying is we are to be responsible for our own security. And then, in spite of doing everything, you cannot prevent evil happening in the world. And so all of the police, all the security did not prevent the Boston bombings. Also, in spite of shutting down the city, which is what happened. And I even heard them talking on the news about Boston, Boylston Street. It's a ghost town. Nobody's out. Nobody's about. Nobody's walking their dog. Nobody's going to the store. Nobody's going to work. I read that there was 9,000 plus law enforcement officers that descended upon the city, going through the streets, going through people's backyards, going house to house doing searches. During the middle of the day last Friday, there was a gunshot at a Dunkin' Donuts and a Starbucks, and people running across the street carrying children. I mean, just pandemonium terror. It would be a frightening thing to go through something like that. But you know what? They didn't find the boy until they lifted the ban, and it wasn't law enforcement that found the 19-year-old anyway. It was the homeowner. The homeowner, when he went out to check on his boat, I believe he's seen the blood, maybe seen that the guy had actually been in his house, in his basement, or maybe the neighbor. But it was the homeowner, a citizen found this man and called the cops something suspicious. Then they came, and, of course, they arrested him and everything like that. But in spite of all that extra security and searching and martial law and everything, it was a citizen. It was a citizen that found the guy. That's interesting. Benjamin Franklin, writing in 1775, he wrote this, and it became a common theme in the development of our country during the American Revolutionary War, and then it was mentioned commonly after the American Revolutionary War when they were setting up the Constitution for our country. Benjamin Franklin wrote this, though, in 1775. He said, those who would give up essential liberty to purchase a little temporary safety deserve neither liberty nor safety. This is not the America that our forefathers envisioned, that we would become prisoners in our homes, that we would not be responsible for our own selves. We would turn that over to whoever. That's not the America that our forefathers envisioned. And then I seen after that they had captured the 19-year-old, old people flooded into the streets and they cheered and they waved American flags, not realizing that their liberties had been taken during that time period. And that's how people are. A lot of people don't realize even what is going on in the world. Well, I see our time is quickly going to get gone today. But I was reading on there in Deuteronomy chapter number 32, where verse 25 said, the sword without and the terror within. But verse number 28 goes on and it says, for they are a nation void of counsel, neither is there any understanding in them. Verse 29 says, oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end. Well, I wish we would do that. That's what the Bible says. Oh, that they would be wise, that they would consider their latter end, that they would understand why these things are happening. Well, there's always a reason. There's always a reason. Wonder what it is. I want to give you the number to the U.S. Journal one more time in case you didn't get it. Got just a few seconds left here. If you've got a pen and a paper, I'd love for you to call and order this. You will not be disappointed. But the number is 715-514-8055. One more time, and then Noah's going to come give the contact information. The number for the U.S. Journal is 715-514-8055. I appreciate you listening in today. Have a great day and God bless.
This has been Blessings of Liberty, brought to you by Pastor Wynn Greer, the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church, located in Vilas, North Carolina. If you'd like to contact us, our church phone number is 828-963-4596. That's 828-963-4596. Or you can reach us through our church website at mountlebanonbc.org. That's MTLEBANON.BC.org.